Huberto moving in, waiting. Huberto to the backhand. Hoobie doobie doo. We are tied at two. What a goal. Loose puck at center. Barkov looking to get a step on Mete. Barkov to the net. Barkov between the legs. Unbelievable. Did you just do that, Alexander Barkov? The Panthers are back on top.
Hello and welcome back to the Florida Hockey Podcast. Justin Bedford alongside Noah Russo. How you doing this week, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. I mean, things are good. Can't complain. Cats are 5-0 to start the season. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, I couldn't really ask for a better start to the season.
You literally can't. No, you literally can't ask for a better start to the season. Especially, too, I feel like, you know, because the Panthers are starting to get a little more, you know, recognition around the league, especially after this start. But I feel like not enough people are giving them the credit they deserve for the quality of competition they faced. Like, it's one thing to be 5-0 if you'd played, like, Detroit twice, or you've played Montreal or Chicago. But so far, I mean, this team has played the Pittsburgh Penguins, who, yes, they're missing a lot of their star players, but they're still a well-coached team with some talent. They beat them opening night. The Islanders, back-to-back conference finals. The Tampa Bay Lightning, back-to-back Stanley Cups. The Colorado Avalanche, President's Trophy winner last year, one of the favorites for the Cup this year. I mean, and Philly off to a great start this season as well, and another win there. Like, these have not been easy, like, games for the Panthers.
No, they have not, and they just keep delivering.
Yeah, and, like, last night was maybe not the prettiest win of the bunch so far. I think it was probably, you know, one of their worst games, especially the second period that they've played this season. But the fact that you can go out and not bring your A game, and you got enough guys that even if a couple of them are contributing, this team battles and they come out, you know, with the 2 points at the end of the day, and you can put it behind you, fix some things, and, you know, get ready for the next one. But just a dream start right now for the Panthers, best start in franchise history. You couldn't ask for anything more.
No, you couldn't. And it's like, it's crazy what a difference, like, having three dynamic lines that can, like, each score at any moment makes in a game. Like, it's just completely tilts the ice in your favor.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it so hard to go up against a team when you have that kind of depth up front, and then you combine it with, you know, some of the real high-end defensemen that the Panthers have. And right now, and we've talked about it, you know, a couple episodes ago, I think, but we got to talk about the goaltending and Sergei Bobrovsky right now matching the best start of his career, 4-0 to start the season. What are you seeing from Bob? Like, is he back?
I don't want to, like, jinx it, you know, like, but it sure seems like he is. He's looking really good, really dynamic in net. You know, you can just see his, like, athleticism activate on some of those plays. And his positioning has just been really, really good. I want to say he is back. I want to say he is the like $10 million goalie we thought we were getting 2 years ago. But I don't want to jinx it.
It's tough because it's like it is early in the season, right? The sample size, it's only 4 games. But and the thing is, too, we've never seen this Sergei Bobrovsky in a Panthers uniform, right? We've only seen it in Columbus. But 4-0 to start the season, he's got a .942 save percentage, I believe.
Yeah.
He is very much looking like the $10 million goalie the Panthers thought they were signing a few years back. So that insane contract.
Yeah, 1.99 goals against average, like, just unreal.
Yeah, like, he's just been terrific. For me, it's the puck tracking, not just, like, you know, he's seeing through traffic. He's making the first save, but the second save too, He's often right there in position. There was an early chance yesterday. The Panthers gave up, and he makes the first one on Farabee, I think, and I forget who the trailer was coming in, but he makes a nice stop there too. Like, he looks like he's at the top of his game right now.
Yeah, this, like, definitely have never seen this one, this Sergei Bobrovsky in a Panthers uniform. It's really exciting, to be honest.
It
makes you wonder, like, is that going to affect how many games Spencer Knight gets in?
Like, it probably does. Like, if Bobrovsky struggles, like, I think they won't hesitate to go to Knight.
Right.
But now you have this good problem of you have two goalies playing really well, and you're trying to manage that of, you know, finding the right amount of games for each goalie, because, you know, as good as Bobrovsky's been, he's, you know, a bit older. So you don't want him to kind of run out of gas, right? You want him to manage his game so that he's not overworked. And for Spencer Knight, you want to get him into enough games that he's, you know, getting the experience, he's getting better, he's feeling the puck, you know, every so often, and in those situations. So you're just trying to find the right balance between those two kind of things in getting Spencer enough starts to give Bobrovsky some rest and give him the experience, as opposed to maybe just trying to roll with the hot hand, and then you get to, you know, March and Bobrovsky starts to fade a bit just from the workload.
Yeah. So it's going to be really interesting, because, like, the push in the NHL recently has been trying to maximize, like, recovery and, like, just the toll that being a goalie takes on your body over the course of a season. So even though Bobrovsky is playing very, very well, you might, like, if you're Joel Quenneville, you might still want to get Knight into a fair amount of games, just because, like, you want to make sure Bobrovsky's rested when it comes playoff time. And the reality is, it is a conversation we have to have this early in the season. That's just the way it is. You don't want to burn him off too early, but then again, you want to try and find a balance with riding his hot streak.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to find that right balance. It's a great problem to have for the team, really. Like, and I think you see it on the players too. They don't really care who's in net there. They know that they're going to get a goalie who's going to play well, keep them in games, and allow them to, you know, come out with some points. So really good problem to have, but I'm curious to see how much, if Bobrovsky keeps up this level of play, how much we're going to see Spencer Knight here. Because again, you're just trying to find that right mix, but really, like, great stuff early on from both goalies. And especially Bobrovsky yesterday, going up against his former team in a game where, again, that wasn't the Panthers' A game. I think they were the better team 5-on-5 for sure. I give them the edge there. But the special teams have been an issue all season, really, but last night as well. The power play, I don't know what it is, but it's not working. They give up the shorty to Cam Atkinson, and, like, they just got outworked by, really, the Flyers' penalty kill for a lot of that game. Like, you get 7 power plays, you can't go 1-for-7, not in this league. You're not going to win many games like that. I think you're fortunate to get the win yesterday, but with those kind of numbers, you're not going to win much in this league.
Yeah, it's really tough, right? Because the power play is so vital to the success. You look at Tampa over the past 2 seasons, their power play was just ridiculous. And it's a sign of a successful team, and you need it. You need to convert on those opportunities. If you don't, it's going to come back and bite you. Yeah. That's just the reality of the situation. And but it's still early in the season, and you still have so much time to work on either, like, personnel, like who's going out on the power play, or just general strategy. So yeah, it's not ideal right now, but there's so much time left in the season that I'm not too worried at the moment.
No, but what I feel like part of that is, like, if the Panthers were 3-2 or 2-3 to start the year, there's more panic, right? But the reality is that even with the power play not firing on all cylinders, they're winning games, right? So there's less panic and pressure from maybe fans or media to get this thing fixed. But the reality is, if you, you know, if you want to stay this way, like, it's going to need to get better. And especially if you're going to try to, you know, make a nice run in the playoffs, like, the power play is a huge part of that. You look at the Oilers, that team is like 90% power play, 10% McDavid at 5-on-5, and the rest is just shambles. Like, that's how they win games. Panthers need to get something going in that facet of the game. I think the good news is that, like, a good power play to me is like cooking, where it's like, you got to start with good. If you're going to make something good, you got to start with good ingredients, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for the power play, that's the personnel that you have. And the Panthers have, you know, great ingredients. They have great players that they can throw out there. It's just a matter of finding the right mixture of what's going to work, and generating some different looks. Because there's too much talent on this roster to have the power play numbers that they have so far.
For sure.
So I would like to see them mix up the personnel a little bit.
Yeah. And you mentioned it like briefly, is that it would be a much like bigger concern if we were 2-3 or something like that. But like, I think that being 5-0, it just, it creates potential, because if the Panthers can be so good without their power play, is, can you imagine once the power play gets going, it's going to be unfair.
Yeah. Like,
no team is going to stand a chance. So that's the way I'm trying to look at it right now.
Yeah.
That it's just, it's opportunity, but something to jumpstart the power play might be nice. So like, as you said, like a bit of a mix up in personnel might be good.
Who would you swap? Right now the power play is Bennett, Reinhart, Huberto, Ekblad, Barkov. Who would you swap out?
Maybe Reinhart, move Reinhart to the second unit.
Yeah,
it's tough because those are your five best offensive players, probably.
We'll see. To me, it's, I think the biggest issue with the power play right now is it just looks stagnant. Like, there's not enough, like, the puck's moving, but the players aren't moving enough.
Yeah.
Right. And you saw that last night against Philly, because Philly, they pressure a lot on their penalty kill, right? And try to force, you know, bad passes and loose pucks. And if you're not moving your feet, then you're going to cough the puck up and Cam Atkinson's going to get a breakaway and he's going to score. And that's exactly what happens last night. I think you got, like, Huberto and Barkov, you got to leave for sure, right? Huberto is your best passer. Barkov is your highest IQ player, right? And a really good facilitator. So you got to have those two out there for sure. I think either Reinhart or Bennett, and it's tough because Bennett does have the one power play goal. I think I'm swapping out Reinhart, and I'd like to get either like Verhaeghe or Duclair in there. Guys that are good, kind of shifty skaters that can move around, you know, maybe play down low, come up the wall, that type of stuff, just to get the penalty killers kind of moving, create a bit more chaos from the penalty kill and try to generate some looks. So I think that would be a change I would look to make for the power play.
Yeah, and I mean, you put Verhaeghe or Duclair, it's not like you're putting in somebody who's never played with the other guys before. Like, Verhaeghe's on the same line as Barkov. Duclair's played with them before. So it's not like you're starting from scratch either. So I definitely agree with those moves, and I would be very inclined to try those. But we'll see. Like, as I said, it's not that big of a worry now. It presents opportunity, but if it keeps going like this, especially against like a team like Arizona next game or Detroit next week, is maybe you are starting to think a bit more critically about the situation.
Once it becomes, you know, if losses start to come, that's when, you know, the pressure and the concern will be there. But as for right now, I think it's, you know, just something to work on. Other thoughts from the game yesterday. Again, I don't think it was the Panthers' A game from a lot of players. Defensively, I think Uyghur probably best defenseman. Some key breakups on plays and some good reads. Probably the best game of the season from two guys, probably from Jonathan Huberdeau. I mean, absolute money on the shorthanded goal. Bennett finds him, doesn't get the first one, but throws it back in front from behind the net, goes in on, you know, Carter Hart, vintage Carter Hart, some would say. And then, like, it just is. And then another guy who was really excellent, it's got to be Mason Marchment. People give him a lot of credit on social media and stuff. He was excellent drawing penalties, being a pain for the Flyers to play against, and which is great to see because that is the way Mason Marchment needs to play to stay in the lineup. Right, he needs to play that type of game, get under players' skins, just be all over them all the time. Impressive stuff from a player who was once called the worst player in the National Hockey League by one Leafs-based media outlet. But probably the strongest game of the year from Mason Marchment.
Yeah, like just it's crazy, like. Players come into Florida and at least there is very little optimism around the league about those players.
Yeah.
And they just come into Florida and literally like they change.
Yeah.
And they tear it up.
Well, and it's really weird because like Verhagen to me is an outlier because his underlines were good in Tampa, right? Like there was an indication that this was a good player. Right, he just needed more of an opportunity. That's what he got in Florida, and he has been a great player. But a lot of the other guys who have come in, they just don't have that prior indication that they're going to be a much better player here in Florida. Like Sam Bennett had like one nice playoff run in Calgary and then has looked mediocre at best for like 5 years. And then you have Gustav Forsling, who was bad and barely used before he got here, and he's been unbelievable. Mason Marchment, like, had like he was just a guy. I was like, oh, sick, he'll look great in Charlotte.
He was like a 14th forward for Toronto at the time, right?
I don't even think he was. I think
like, I don't even think he was that far, like, that far up the depth chart.
No. And he comes in here and he looks like, you know, a really useful player for this team. That's what, you know, the Panthers have been able to do so well. That's why they've, been such a good team this last like year and a bit is because guys are just coming in out of nowhere and just all of a sudden they're quite good at hockey apparently.
Very, yeah. I mean the Bennett thing, like people saying that they can produce in the regular season and then he like
does
puts up what he put up last year at the end of the season and then so far so good this year.
Yeah. I mean it's bizarre because like he's a different player here in Florida. I don't know what it is. If it's something in the water, I don't know what it is. But for some reason, the Panthers are getting great performances out of guys who have been written off by other teams, which, I mean, I love it. And you talk Mason Marchment coming over from the Toronto Maple Leafs. They had quite a game themselves yesterday. A nifty little 7-1 loss to the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins. So tough one for Leafs fans. I know we were both getting texts from some of our Leaf fan friends. Not pleased with that one. I had both the, because we have two TVs in our living room. I had the Panthers game on and the Leafs game on. Quite the contrast between the two teams. Like just a little bit.
I'm so excited for these two teams to play.
I can't wait for it. Like, and you know what the big difference to me is like, I don't know if you watched the Leafs documentary at all.
I watched the entire thing. Yes.
Well, it's just like the Panthers. I think one of the things that like separates them is that both teams have talent. There's no denying that. But the Panthers, like the culture and the players, the way they interact with each other, they like each other. They believe in each other that they're going to, you know, like they're down in this game they're down, you know, in the opener against Pittsburgh. They believe they're going to come back, and they do come back. You know, they don't get rattled if they have a bad game or a bad shift. You know, players bounce back. The Leafs just crumble under the slightest bit of pressure.
Like, yeah, like any kind of pressure.
Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I don't know what it is, but psychologically, they just collapse. It took all of like 20 minutes into that game for Dubas, Marner, Keefe, Babcock, all to be trending.
I know. I woke up this morning and Matthews and Marner were trending, and I was like, this is amazing.
Like, I mean, it's just, it's shocking stuff, really. Like, you know, I know, you know, we chirp the Leafs a lot, but they are, like, they are a good team. Like, they're not as good as the Panthers, but they're a decent team.
Yeah.
And they just look in shambles right now, which, like, I'm here for it. I love to see it. But
yeah, you do love to see it.
You really do. You really do. You know, especially, and because they think they're sick. Think that, you know, the world revolves around the Leafs, and it's just it's not true.
It is not.
Yeah, not true.
Not true.
Yeah. So big fan of that. Big fan of that game. But I think we'll move on. We'll talk about some of the upcoming Panther games. They got on the schedule. Schedule eases up a little bit in the near future, which is nice to see. But before we get there, a quick ad read from our good friends over at DraftKings. NFL fans, hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets if they win. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Let's look at the schedule. Give me a sec to catch my breath after that ad read. Oh, my goodness. It's a bit of a mouthful, but next up, the Panthers are taking on the Arizona Coyotes in Sunrise. The Arizona Coyotes this season have been feeling dangerous. 0 wins, 4 losses, 1 OT loss, 1 point in the standings.
I'm never gonna like whenever somebody mentions Arizona this season, I will never forget their first game against Columbus. I think it was 8-2 final score.
Yeah, they look great.
Columbus scored 8 goals off of 26 shots.
Yeah, it was
it's so bad.
Yeah, it's not great. They're not great for Arizona, but it's like, it's really tough because like Arizona is not good this year. You know, we all knew that before the season. We definitely know it now during the season. But they're trying to be bad. So like, good for them. If that's their goal, they're absolutely killing it right now. 0-4-1. I will say this though. I just pulled up their lineup. If this was 2014, this is like a sick team.
Yeah.
You got Andrew Ladd. You got Phil Kessel, right? You got Jay Beagle. You got Louis Erickson. Like, you got Anton Strahlman, our good friend from, you know, the past. I mean, it's a good-looking team.
Really, really good-looking
team. For 2014. Team. Yeah, really great-looking team. On paper, this should be a win, right? This should be the easiest game the Panthers have played, right, by far. But at the same time, these are the type of games where like you can lose any game. This could be the type of game where you come in maybe a bit too confident, and I don't know, Clayton Keller just goes nuts and throws up a couple points. Like,
which, in fairness, would not be disastrous to my fantasy team.
Which, in fairness, I don't care. Why do you have an Arizona Coyote on your fantasy team? That's a red flag. That's not good.
I don't think it's our fantasy. I think it's my other one. But still, I know.
How
I
deep
know.
Is that fantasy league? I know. Are there 800 people in it? Jesus. on paper, like, this should be a win.
Like,
but like, but you no wins guaranteed in this league.
Absolutely. And I would expect, like, I would hope that Spencer Knight gets the nod in net. But you never know with how well Bobrovsky's been playing.
Yeah, it really, really depends. I mean, really, you go with either guy, I think you're going to be fine. But just, again, because I will say, even though Arizona, they don't have the talent or the depth that the Panthers might have on paper, like, they are going to go out, they are going to work hard, they are going to try to grind you down. It's like, you know, you're thinking it's going to be a win, but if it is, it's not going to be an easy win. They still got some players who can be difference makers. But I'm thinking Panthers win this one.
Yeah, it's really hard to picture them not winning.
Also, I just want to say, actually, before I forgot about this from earlier when we were talking about Flyers, Panthers. But I think Keith Yandel misses his friends.
Dude, he did not have a good game.
-2. And a turnover on the game-winning goal to Jonathan Huberto. Coincidence?
I mean, have we not, like, gone through the theory that he's just there to, like, to sabotage the Flyers?
Yeah, I know. I think it's, like, him and Ristolainen competing to see who can be the biggest saboteur. Like, I think that's what they're going for. But, yeah, really, really nice of Keith yesterday. Do that for the Panthers. And, you know, because sometimes, you know, I'll get nostalgic, you know, I'll be like, oh, I miss Keith Yandel. Not the player, right? But the person, right?
Right.
Because he brought a lot of energy. It was good vibes in the locker room, right? Well liked by his teammates. And I'll be like, oh, I missed, you know, that. Like, he's a good teammate. Last night was a good reminder as to why I don't miss Keith Yandel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, now, you miss him off the ice. You do not miss him on the ice. I think that's very, like, evident.
Yeah, no. And, yeah, last night was a great example of that. And maybe we'll see something like that from Anton Strahlman versus the Coyotes.
Oh, I would love to see that because that was getting tough to watch.
Yeah, it was tough to watch. What's your score prediction for this one?
I'm going to go 4-1 Panthers.
Oh, my goodness. You're thinking a big, big win for the Panthers.
Big win for the Panthers.
All right. I'm going to say this is the game where the power play finally starts to get going. I'm thinking 2 power play goals for the Panthers. I'm thinking a 5-1 win. And I'm thinking the 1 goal cut from the Arizona Coyotes comes from Jay Beagle.
Of course it does.
I don't sleep on Jay Beagle. He's playing on a line with Andrew Ladd and Ryan Dezingle.
Oh, man.
That could be, you know, that could cause problems. But, like, yeah, that's it'll be nice for that to be the game.
Yeah, really looking forward to this game, to be honest. It's just going to be nice to – well, at least I like to think that it's going to be just a really nice, easy win, but we'll see.
We'll see. You don't want to get ahead of ourselves. No win's an easy win. And then after that, they play Boston, another good team. They finally did the thing and started Linus Ullmark, which is huge for my fantasy team. And what do you know? He played incredible.
I didn't even see anything, but I kept getting notifications that he was playing so well.
Yeah, he single-handedly, like, is saving my save percentage in fantasy hockey. So thank you for that, Linus, but I hope he doesn't do it against the Panthers. Boston's a weird team because they haven't played much.
Yeah.
Like, their schedule's been really weird. Like, they took a while to play their first game and then a break between their second game. Like, they only played 3 games, I think. Like, so I don't – there's no real read on Boston yet. Like, obviously, like – they're a good team. They have great players like Brad Marchand, absolute rat. and really good at hockey too, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Just the perfect pest. But other than that, like, I don't have a real sense from Boston as to what they are. I mean, looking, you know, right now at the Atlantic Division standings, like, they're 2-1. But again, the three games, don't really know what to make of it.
No. And it's so early in the season that you can't make any assumptions about any team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm actually, like, I think that'll be a great game.
I do too. I think it's going to be, you know, it's a physical contest. I think, you know, there's going to be some bad blood, you know, some scrums perhaps going on. But for me, I think it's going to come down to the defense. I'm not totally sold on Boston's defense outside of Charlie McAvoy, who's unbelievable, right? Like, that's just like, but outside of that, like, Mike Riley's really good. Brandon Carlo's good. Forbert, John Moore, like, they're solid, but I'm worried about maybe, like, I think you have to expose maybe the foot speed of some of those defenders if you're the Panthers, right? The Panthers have a lot of speed that they can utilize.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's, you know, that's what you got, I'm going after, you know, Brandon Carlo and Derek Forbert all night. And because the Panthers are so deep, they can do that. They have speed and skill on every line. But it should be a real good one too, because Boston's been, you know, again, one of those top teams in the Atlantic Division for the last few years, up mm-hmm. there with Toronto and Tampa. So it's a nice kind of benchmark game too, to see how you match up against a team like that, a team that, you know, is playing pretty well, that's well built, and a lot of experience. So it's another good test game for the Panthers.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's the Detroit Red Wings, who are,
Oh baby.
I know, it's the big one. Mark it on the calendar. The Detroit Red Wings taking on the Florida Panthers Friday, October 29th. Be there. Red Wings have not been terrible.
No, they have not. And I mean, when they do have Bertuzzi in the lineup, which is any game outside of Canada, they look very good and they bring a physical approach to the game. And I'm loving what I'm seeing from defenseman. I think you have him on your fantasy, Moritz Seider.
Of course I have Moritz Seider on my team. That's how shit my team is. Is that was like, that's one of my better defensemen. It is not a recipe for success. But yeah, like, he's looked really good. Lucas Raymond's looked good for the Red Wings. Like, I think it would be foolish to kind of assume this is the Red Wings team we've seen from the last couple of seasons. Like, no, this is, like, they're not the best, but they're a better team for sure than they have been in recent history. And they also have a guy in that, and I hate him, but, like, Thomas Greiss. They have a guy like that who, like, you could get goalied by them. Like, I'm not worried about, like Arizona's also a bad team. I'm not concerned about Arizona goalie attending the Panthers and just kind of stealing out a win, because I've seen Arizona's goaltender depth chart and it's Karel Vemelka and Carter Hutton. So I'm like, that's fine. But Thomas Greiss is a legitimately good goalie who has that ability to steal games, even at, you know, his age. And he did it for years when he was over there with the Islanders. So that one, another good test. I think, you know, again, not the toughest opponent, but not an easy win by any means.
No, definitely not. There's no easy win. Like, there's no easy games in the NHL, right? And when you do
unless
get
you
them,
play in the Pacific Division.
Yeah. And when you do get them, they just come in the most unexpected moments.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we're now. And then after that, I mean, I'm looking at like their schedule and like, is every team's schedule this difficult? Like, I swear it's just like contender after contender.
I know.
Like, thanks, schedule makers. But good news is team's playing well. I think in this next like 2-3 game stretch, the main thing I'm looking for is for the power play to get going and for the penalty kill to be a little bit sharper and for the goaltending to kind of hold up.
Yeah. I think that's the last point there is probably the most important one and the one I would keep an eye on the most, just because there's been so much uncertainty over the years.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, like, I find it so hard to believe in goaltending. Like, it just is one, like, it's one of those things, like, a guy could be playing unbelievable and I'll be like, oh, like, in my head, I'm like, it can't last.
No. I completely agree with you.
Right. And it's like, I hope, like, obviously we both hope that's not the case, but it is possible. So I'm looking for that to, you know, stay strong, because that's been a big part of, you know, why the Panthers are undefeated so far to start the season.
Yeah.
So hopefully, that can continue, but we will see. I think that, that does it for this episode of the podcast. Thank you to everyone tuning in, listening. We're going to be back on Thursday with a brand new episode, talking more Florida Panthers hockey, more stuff from around the league. So we'll see you all then, and thanks for listening.
Center, Barkov looking to get a step on Mete.